I'd like to call the meeting of the Board of Library Trustees to order. This is a special meeting, July 10th, 2019. All of the board members are present. Do we have any names in for public comments, Eve?
No.
Good, all right. Do we have any comments from the library unions today? No library unions today. Well, we're just going to buzz right through this. Comments from the Library Board of Trustees. Does anybody have anything to bring to our attention today? Amy?
There were just two really interesting articles in the New York Times recently. I don't have the link, but if anybody really wants them, they can figure it out or ask me. One was about Moe's Books.
Yeah.
It was very nice. It was quite complimentary, and it was interesting in the history that it gave. And the other, Judy, I think you mentioned something very similar to this maybe a couple months ago, but it was about putting books in little libraries in laundromats,
that's right.
Barber shops, yes. You know, stuff like that, and the impact that it seemed to be having. So they're worth a read. That's it.
Sophie, go ahead.
Yes, first of all, I just want to thank Eve for the plastic reusable cups.
Why not?
It's just a fluke because I forgot to bring my paper cups and I found those in the staff room.
Well, I think we should make a habit of it. Thank you very much.
Why not?
I wanted to just report out from the subcommittee meeting that Judy and I had a mere a few minutes ago with Elliot and Eve helping to go over the draft bylaws. And we had been stalled for quite a while because we were hoping that we were going to get some help from the city attorney's office, and then we thought maybe we would be able to hire someone, get a little help, et cetera, et cetera. And all of that fell through, so we kind of took the bull by the horns again and decided that we'll just have to power through doing this large amount of work ourselves. And we sat down, we had a two-hour work session, and so that process that has been stalled is starting again. I think it's good timing because we were able to look at and think about the Moss Adams feedback in that process, and it is our hope that we will be able to bring a draft here to this board and send a sort of final first draft to the city attorney and maybe finish reviewing it by the end of the year or early next year. We don't want to give specific dates, but that's what we're trying to accomplish, and we feel like we have a path forward. So
terrific.
Wanted to let everybody know that.
Good.
And thank you to all who contributed. Eve and Elliot, really helpful to have them involved in this work session.
Okay. Judy.
Oh, John, go down. John, do you have something to say?
Just one.
One quick one. No, John.
I was actually going to make copies, and I sent you and Elliot the poem from the New Yorker. Surprise. And I can't remember the poet. But if you remember, this was one of the surprises in the poem was, my library has gone fine free. And it just struck me, yes! We did that too. Maybe this poet was from Berkeley.
It's possible. A lot of poets here.
Yeah, there are a lot of writers in Berkeley. Absolutely. But it's just like, yes, it's happening, you know, in different places. It's starting to catch on. And I appreciate Elliot and our staff for working on this and getting it together and implementing it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Judy.
Yes, I have three things I want to ask. And I'll share with all of you. The first has to do with library in West Oakland. They have library in the streets, street corner library. So I thought that was interesting. The second has to do with something that started in San Francisco. It was also in the New York Times.
Is that it?
Yeah. Last month, having to do with drag queen story hour continues. It's rain at libraries despite backlash. I'm going to take that and pass. And then one that's closer to home, this was in Seattle, that was just updated last month, having to do with King County Library's drag queen story hours engage many and enrage others. And this, all of you have all three copies in your packet. Mm-hmm. This goes to show you how something can start in San Francisco and here on the West Coast and then travel east. But it also highlights how drag queen story hour is crafted for children. And the purpose is to help children feel and learn that differences are just different and how differences can be exciting and fun. But then when you read the articles, it's controversial because some people think that you're teaching children about sexuality and so forth and so on. But anyway, it highlights the role of libraries in communities in terms of freedom of expression, teaching tools and controversies. But I also thought it would give you good frame of reference how libraries are facing challenges, controversies, and conflicts across communities across the nation. So when we face these things here in Berkeley, it's nothing new. Every library is facing the same dilemmas in some way, particularly when you introduce something that's very new, avant-garde, something that people aren't used to, or a different way of thinking. So I just thought that those three things would be interesting for you. The third one is about the library in Seattle. The first has to do in New York, and even how they're beginning to do it, the Drag Queen Story Hour, in Spanish in New York. So how they are adapting something and making it culture specific. So those are the three things that I have.
Great. Thank you, Judy. Well, it is July and the fiscal year clock has turned to the new year. And as we know, we authorized extra hours for the tool lending library for this coming year, and we're going to celebrate that on Saturday, August 3rd. On that day at 10 o'clock, we'll meet for coffee and cake here to celebrate the beginning of those new hours. It'll run right into the Fix-It clinic they're having that day from 12 to 3, so we know there'll be a lot of folks around. And then, of course, we know that Tool Lending Library is opening on Monday, so we'll look forward to seeing them opening on Monday the 5th for that first Monday of the month. So
5th. I'm sorry.
5th.
Thank you.
Yeah. So begins in August. Come for coffee and cake. And it's going to be, I think, just a great celebration because I think this is an example of where the community talked to the tool guys talked to management. Management and the unions worked together really well to increase the hours in a way that worked. And Bolt approved it. So you can't get more cooperative than that in your community, I don't think. So it'll be a fun day for all of us. So mark it down on your calendars and plan to come and celebrate. Thank you. Consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull anything from the consent calendar?
I was going to ask Elliot a question about the meeting room policy. And it's the email we all received from a member of the public about the for-profit part of it.
Yeah, sure.
And if you want to pull it, or if you just want to answer that question, if others have concerns, maybe we should pull that. G. It's G from the consent calendar.
Yeah, do you want to make that motion?
Yeah. So I'll move everything except pulling G to action.
Okay.
I have a correction to the minutes.
Great. Amy, speak that.
Well, not to toot my own horn, but the Calgary Library report was given both by Diane and me.
Absolutely.
We will.
Not yes.
That's
Diane.
That's right.
That's
you're right. You're absolutely right. Oh. Apologies.
Yeah, that's okay.
Good. Thank you, Amy, for that
you're
correction.
Certainly welcome.
Is Is there a second to approve the consent calendar, except for item G, which we're going to pull?
I second it.
Thank you, Judy. All in favor of the consent calendar, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Good. G. Elliot, do you have a copy of the patron's question if you want to repeat that?
I don't, but I think I know what you're asking.
Okay, go right ahead.
If you do not want me to talk about the other elements of it, and your only concern is the question.
Well, I would say the for-profit kind of, it caught my eye also. I did a double take. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I thought about it, and I said, okay, we have to be non-discriminatory, equal opportunity. There are probably situations where we have outside vendors coming in, whatever the situation may be. So I just wanted a little explanation for the public. And
absolutely. So some history. My understanding is that this has been in the policy since 2005.
Okay.
My understanding is that it's only there in order to create a set of priorities of how the library uses its room, starting with library programs, then going to, I believe, city and other governmental organizations, government agency-sponsored nonprofits, and then for-profits. Now, for-profits and any individual, couple things. There is some important case law having to do with meeting rooms. An example of one is Glover versus Faith Ministries from Contra Costa County. I think it was 2004. There's probably some other case law that I just don't remember. It has to do with ensuring that cities are not discriminatory based upon affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ALA's language around their recommendations around meeting room is that that libraries cannot or should not discriminate based upon the affiliation, but rather set a set of rules for use. So we have very specific rules within this policy related to what activities can and cannot take place. One of the things that cannot take place within when one is using the meeting room is either selling materials other than the friends of the library or in association with library programs, or advertising of any sort, advertising services. So that's how we attempt to deal with it. Now, the question is, when does this even come up, right? And so two things. We do library programming. Much of it is performed just done by library staff, for example, a story time. But some of it is vendors who are for-profit agencies. Some may be not-for-profit agencies or in private individuals. We don't know what their tax status is. And then it comes to when groups contact us, it's very difficult for us to identify the nature of a group. A group of six people who live here in Berkeley, who call themselves the South Berkeley Neighbors, we don't want to determine whether or not they're a registered nonprofit group or not. And so we don't check on that specific thing, which would determine whether somebody's a nonprofit. So putting us in that realm. But when we know something is a for-profit agency, let's say an attorney's office is doing a pro bono, wants to do a pro bono thing on whatever element, immigration or something like that, we will talk with them about our rules. We'll make sure that it's clear that we cannot have advertising their agent, their firm, that they can't sell materials or even give away cards saying, you know, if you're interested in contacting us for future business. Those elements are entirely forbidden, and we clarify that, and those groups that do that, if it ever happens, are then suspended from being permitted to use the meetings. So it's based upon behavior rather than on the nature of an entity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, as long as an entity adheres to the policy, to the guidelines, then we're not drawing, making distinctions. And as you say, I imagine it would be very difficult to vet every group that applies.
It is very difficult. One of the and it is rare for us to have the room used by a for-profit agency because the intent is to have it be open to the public.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And for it to be for the educational and recreational purposes. So an agency that wants to hold a meeting, a private mm-hmm. meeting, because they need a place to run a meeting for their board, yes. you know, it's a for-profit agency that it isn't allowing people in. They don't get to use it anyway. Mm-hmm. Or, say, a business that just wants to hold a training for their staff and it's mm-hmm. not open to the public. That would be mm-hmm. not permitted either. So it doesn't come up that often in any case.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions from the board about the meeting room policy? Sophie?
I don't have a question because I think very little is changing, just the frequency of possibility of reserving. Mm-hmm. But I did want to thank Elliot and the staff for taking a second look at our policy and really thinking about whether the limits that had been set at a point in time under different circumstances were still relevant today. And if our meeting rooms are not being used that often, then that in and of itself seems like a problem that we should fix. We should be encouraging the use of those spaces and encouraging organizations to meet and use the public space that's theirs. So I really just want to appreciate that. I don't think it seemed that obvious at the beginning, but I appreciate that Elliot and staff went back and said, wait a minute, why do we have this policy? What effect is it having on use of our rooms? And is it necessary for us to restrict it in this way? And they decided to increase access, which is a really important thing for the library.
Thank you, Sophie. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I will move item G.
Is there
I'll
a second?
Second that.
Sophie seconds. All in favor of the meeting room change from once a month to weekly, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. The motion carries. The director's report.
I know that you all see that one of the biggest, the thing that takes up the most room in my report has to do with the ILS migration, but I wanted to talk a little bit about what the migration allowed us to do on Monday the 1st. I know that Diane had the opportunity to come by and see a little bit of it. We held a staff day, which was comprised of both training, celebrating some of the work that we've done, training on the new system, as well as a number of both workshops and discussions. And one of the discussions that was held was a gender equity discussion from people from the trans and community, and what was the name of the organization that ran the Santa Cruz
Diversity
Center. Has done a lot of training with library staff around the topic of gender inclusivity in public spaces. And it was a frank and interesting discussion, and a lot of staff members shared with me and just how important it was for them to have had that opportunity. So thank you for approving the closure for the first. I think it definitely sparked ideas, you know, among staff about what else we could do internally, both in terms of increasing a sense of a welcome space for members of the trans community, as well as opportunities in the future to do similar kinds of trainings. So that was a really important thing. And I just didn't get a chance to write it in this because I wrote it before, and then we delayed the meeting until the 10th. So
good, thank you. Any questions from the board for Elliot about the report?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if this is the right place, I mean, in the meeting, but there was nothing in the report about the RFP for a search firm for the new director,
yes.
So I'd like to know about that.
Yes, my understanding is that the RFP date for the idea of the contract date would begin in September for the firm that We just have a draft. I just have to do a final approval, and it should go forward. But we should be seeing the firm on hand, if so selected. Is my understanding?
It's a tentative date. Yeah. We have a tentative schedule, and I'm going to work with Elliot and also staff at the library to request specification number, and we'll still move forward through the process from there if the library is.
Thank you.
So they'll be starting their work
well,
in
we
September?
Well, we have to, that depends upon, we have to do contract negotiations as every organization that you, you do. So I don't know, I can't actually.
Time is marching on. Okay, I have another question.
Wait, before we get.
Sure.
Have you selected a search firm?
No.
This is RFP,
yes,
right?
It hasn't
so
gone
has
out
it,
yet.
It has to go out?
It has to go out.
Okay, that
yes.
is. But,
could, you can give them a little bit of an overview.
So we drafted the RFP and we need to go through the process of getting a specification number, doing the details before we actually offer the small details before we offer the contract out for bidding, which I don't want to go through all the steps here because I don't have it outlined in front of me, but. And I think we talked earlier, maybe Latanya talked earlier about how long that process can take, anywhere from 2 weeks to 7 weeks to get the contract ready for bidding. When Elliot says towards the end of September, we will be initiating the contract, there are several steps that happen before that, which is putting the contract out to bid, there's a question and answer period, a comment period that we'll have to go through. And right now, we have the tentative schedule outlined in the contract for all the steps that need to happen. And the end process has us at around September, end of September, to actually start the contract once we select a firm. So in the dates are tentative because, you know, as the process moves along, we may find that we need to do more things. So what we staff can do is keep the board updated where we are in the process. But right now, we're at the beginning phase where we're going to be, we've got the RFP drafted, and we're going to be putting in a specification number, which is the first step to getting the RFP out to bid.
I have another question.
Sure, Amy.
Okay, when can we expect to see the information that you have about previous searches for the director and previous interviews?
Well, is that that file that was in the...
Yes,
the
it friend? Certainly is.
Yeah. When you say we, there is the, do you mean the entire board?
Yes, that's what I mean.
I can provide access to the file.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said I can provide access to the file. We just remove some confidential information that has to do with personnel.
Yeah.
Items, but the file is available for the board to review.
What we can do is set up some dates that are good for you to to invite any of you to come see that. It's fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Amy.
Sure.
Okay. My pleasure.
Yeah.
Sophie?
Yes, so I think that Amy brings up some really good points. I think it would be good to include in your reports going forward, even if it's just a reiteration of information that technically should already be known, if you could include a little section from now on the director search, where you just kind of say, you know, this was referred to these people and they're doing it.
Okay.
And the next thing that will happen is this.
That's good.
That's great.
It reminded me that I was approached by some members of the public, not staff people, by members of the public who pay attention to library matters. And they said to me that they were very alarmed that our board had made a terrible mistake in delegating the entire search process to these three people. And that the board really ought to be doing the hiring itself. And, you know, I explained, no, we delegated just for them to help move the process along. They're not picking, they're not figuring out the content of the criteria, they're not. So it's amazing how easy it is, I think, for people to misunderstand what is going on And I think that being over clear as we move forward, knowing that even though things are much significantly calmed down as a general matter in the community, that there are still people who are worried about the way things happen, especially around executive directors.
Thank you.
I think we really, there needs to be a section always, even if there's almost nothing to say.
Sure. Great idea. Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Amy.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving right along. Anna, are you going to give us a report on the online catalog?
So the first thing I should mention is that you should be imagining that this room is full of balloons and there's sparklers everywhere because we launched an iOS migration and we are very excited that we have been able to introduce the Carl system. And this team has worked really hard and I want you to know that I'm showing you a tiny, tiny sliver of the team and all of the work that has happened. So I'm actually just representing a very small piece of a much, much larger group of people that I've worked. And I've tried to highlight some of them, but even this is still pales compared to all of the work, the hours and the dedication that's come through. So I do want to make sure that we say that good work is highlighted. And then also your good work, right? You went through the art process with us, you had an selection, and you are now seeing the fruits of your labor.
Could you speak a little more loudly?
Yes, I can. All right. So as you know, if you go to our webpage right now, this little button is very significant. That is taking us to our catalog. You'll see right here there's a little highlighted piece that says Advanced Search. I just wanted to point that out because we're there right now. And what I'm actually going to do is pull some of this PowerPoint just to get us started in setup of how we got here. Here we go. So I just wanted to highlight Alicia Abramson, our manager of Library Information Technology, has been our project manager. She's been at the helm. She has done a lot of tying up loose ends and keeping us together as a team. ILS steering committee members are here. This includes IT, again, Alicia, of course, John Boggs, Bay Smith, our collection services supervisor. Can I put John Boggs again under JJ?
Wait, I know. John Boggs. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Myself, of course, Elliot Ward.
Double time.
So we started off with design sessions. So I just did a little snapshot of some of the staff that were invited to to help design and make some choices and help us get some lenses for our iOS steering committee. So come join us February 15th and Friday the 22nd to help us in designing our discovery module, which discovery is the catalog, so you know, so there you go. And what we ended up having happen next was our Library Corporation came. We had Carl's ex-staff actually come and train this group on circulation, on how Carl X functions. And you'll see this is from different branches. These are people that are working at different levels, and they all have different lenses to see and bring what it is that we do now to what is how we're going to be doing the same tasks in Carl. And for discovery, which is specifically catalog-oriented, again, we have different classifications, we have different locations represented, and we have people from each classification, I think I'm going to say that pretty well. So that's when Carl came and taught us everything that I can do. So we pulled all of those people that you just saw, this group, these two groups, became our experts. They were our train the trainers. So we then developed a system-wide training from which all of our staff was going to get trained on. When we had, so Jay, I, Rudy, and all of those trainers, we designed training and then we continuously held trainings throughout most of June. So it started on June 6th and moved all the way to June 21st. Almost every single day we had, I think we we only missed 2 days. We had training available for people to sign up for, and that included, that was 3 hours of training. Two in basin circulation, one of them was pretty new in my catalog. Just getting everyone involved in being able to be hands-on. So the other piece of training that we also did was for launch day. On launch day, we had modules in stations all over the library. And what we're moving towards for the rest of July and August, we will have basics and beyond. So for people that need to do a catch-up training or need to do the basics again, we're offering that as well. And then beyond is for advanced classes that people don't have quite under their belt. So we did frontline services first, making sure those doors could open, and we sure did. So we're, I'm going to show you a few of the highlights, just pictures mostly. And then we got feedback forms, of course, from those trainings. So I thought I'd mention a couple of those. Looks like Carl X is going to be a lot smoother. I really liked it. It was really helpful, and I love... What was it? We
had no particular criticism.
We have no particular criticism. Of course, I included that. Oh, that's true. So after... Jay, that's your reminder. So after someone has took one of those system-wide trainings that was provided by those trained trainers, they were able to get access right away. The IT would install the client, the test client, so that they could practice. And that was actually something a lot of people said, like, oh, I just need more practice. And that one's up there too. I need to play around. I need to get in there. I need to get familiarized. So that is something we gave people access to as a result of these trainings. And this one was just a funny one. What part of the training was helpful? The jokes. And, you know, Rudy had especially good jokes, I believe, for most of the trainings. And we did have fans in there. And people were, I brought this up because people did have an air of delight. They were excited, they moved around the system, and they had really good critical questions. I wanted to highlight our trainers again. They played a great leadership role. And they elected to wear security vests, so they were highly visible. I wanted you to know. These are some of the stations that you see on launch day. Again, I'm breezing by things that are actually huge and had a lot of different people contributing to their success. So I want you to know that there's so much more. These are just little snippets of it. Okay. So, let me give you a quick tour of our catalog since we are live. So the first thing I want to bring you up to is that you can log in and you can get an easy login. So if you have an easy log, if you have a library, if you're not really good at remembering your library card number, I mean, do you have it memorized?
I do.
You have it memorized? One. You got one.
Well, no. Almost. Almost.
Okay. All right. So you can make an easy login, and in fact, right now, if you go, if you want to log into your account, you can use your barcode and your last name, or if you've already created an easy login, you can use that to log in as well. So it'll always give you both options. And I wanted to show you that at the very top of the page, which I'll highlight in real time, suggested purchase and contact. So I'm going to come pull over to our catalog. Here she is, isn't she pretty? This top bar up here are all items that we have curated to be there. This one takes you to our library homepage, downloads and streaming some of our highest circulating items, just focused and highlighted there. Events, obviously, people coming into the library, getting a library card, that happens right there. People can put it all in, show up with their ID, get their library card. And suggested purchase. So suggested purchase has been a lovely addition that we're already doing. However, what we get to do is interact with the patrons in a new way. We get about 300 suggested purchase requests a month. And so they require a workflow. And that workflow currently doesn't lend itself to communication. So one of the beautiful things about this is once people put in a suggested purchase, it shows up in their account. If we can purchase the item and do, it will automatically be put on hold for them. And that is a part of the process. So there's less mystery as to, oh, did I end up getting that particular, did you guys end up purchasing it? And if it's on hold in their purchase suggestion for a while. They know we haven't been able to purchase it yet, but we also haven't canceled it. So we're having more communication with suggested purchase, and that's a pretty big win.
And can I just accentuate? This is something that people have suggested, and we received a lot of comments at our last survey about wanting to do, so we're really happy to be able to try it out and make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 300 people a month that we're talking to more frequently. And then there's, of course, our contact us. So right now, when we go ahead and go to contact us, we're able to lead people. We do realize that people are new to our catalog. Obviously, we're all new to this catalog in particular. So when they're contacting us, sometimes they're looking for a particular item. One of the most hotly sought after items was our new items. So we were able to respond to that right away by going ahead and creating this new arrivals area, which shows up here. And we were able to do a lot more responsive new items that people are looking for all the time. So bringing us back.
Could you click on one of those just to strip, like?
Do you want to do new with an
option
part one?
So it's a list of everything by call number, new nonfiction received. And as we get more new stuff this year, we'll be able to restrict that to the last 2 weeks or the last 4 weeks so that it'll be fairly similar to what we had in the previous system, but we can have many more of these lists and be more discreet. So for example, if you go back, we created go to the new arrivals. You can just click on the new arrivals down there. Yeah. Scroll down, please. You can see we have new history books. We weren't able to do that in the old system. So now when you click on that, it's adult history books that have been published recently that are will be updated as we get more history books.
So where it says not available, what exactly does that mean?
Click on the... It's either
sorry?
All copies
are
checked out.
All checked out. Or
it's checked out.
So click on all copies. So the one copy we have, so then you would place a hold. Go ahead.
I see.
Place a hold. And then you would enter your information.
You know, that's one of the things we're taking up too, though, Amy, is that some of the language things. You know, as we go, some things are hard scripted, some of them we can't mess with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you point out, they're like, you know, not available. It's not the most positive message in the world. So as we go forward, there's certain things that we can change to have a more specific, explicit explanation.
Okay, great.
And we've gotten that. That's the kind of thing that we're, you know, you have the we had the second where we did the quote migration, but actually the migration takes a longer time than that. And I'd say in the next month or so, we'll be continuing to get input from community members and a lot from staff who notice things that had not been considered before that are very small but important to them.
Yeah. There are two things. One of them is speaking to the phases of a migration. Some things you have to do after you go live. And so we are now, it's like a second phase that is happening behind the scenes, but our first priority was to make sure that everything was working before. By and large, we opened and all our trainers were there. They were at all our different branches. They were helping each other out. They were, you know, making sure that everybody knew how to do all of these different functions. And when we opened our doors, what we were able to do, our basic services, which is, I think, a huge thing. So I know that not everybody is necessarily comfortable already, but that's okay. Like, we got them the information they needed through these trainings and by having some of this orientation. All right, so I'm going to tour you through a few more little pieces. So we log into easy login. We did talk a little bit about suggested purchase. For search suggestions, so once you start typing into the search bar, if you hesitate, like, oh, I don't know how to spell that word. Oh, I don't remember that full title. I don't remember the last word in the title. You will get some search suggestions that will appear. And this will happen for authors, for different formats, and just for frequent searches altogether. List view and flow view. So let's say you did a search and you wanted to go ahead and do a search. Let's go ahead and go to the advanced search and say, I really want to search for the science-y
Oops.
So, and I just want to browse around. I can see very much like I would on the shelf, and I can see a little bit of each of the covers. I can also, if I were to do, let's see. Okay. So this is another feature that we have. Did you see that? I made a typo, and it gave me a suggestion. That is also, so before our last, we were getting away from being in a very static, staunch environment, right? People are used to searching and having the system be very forgiving and kind of predicting where you're going with it, so.
So what did you type in?
R-O-G-S.
Oh.
R-O-G-S, yeah. And then there's also a list view. So the list view has some more functionality. You can do things in batch. You can select all of the items and apply a hold to all of the items. It only goes to that page, or you can add them to a list. So if I went through and I just said, oh, I just want a few of these things, I can add those to a list that I save as well.
I'm gonna jump in from time to time, so I don't want you to get this around. But just to kind of, to your point, in your previous video, you'll see there that, for instance, it says two available now. So this is one of those processes, this is that post-implementation thing that, that Anna's talking about, which is now that we really have it up and running, we can look at it and then we find those little things like that unavailable or whatever it is. But it's really only once we get it up and get it live that we can understand, honestly, quite frankly, some of the thousands of choices we made in the abstract, which, yeah.
All right, so we've pulled this search in, we have 588 results specifically on frogs. Here on the left-hand side, you'll see that you can start to filter by branch. So if I only wanted to see item types in fall and south, because those are the only two places I live, which is pretty accurate, actually. I pretty much visit south and central library the most. It'll start filtering by that right away. And you'll start to see down here these formats. So format will go up the front, and you can limit by collection. So let's say I only want to save children's items. And in fact, I'm really only looking for picture books to take to my niece and nephew. There, I have the opportunity to narrow all the way down the picture book, which is something that people have really asked for as well, particularly our children's librarians. They've been wanting to search by picture book for a lot of reasons. All right.
Okay, wait. Oh, wait. Can you just go back?
To this guy?
What is that? What is that that appears in the search thing? Because it's
this
weird.
This is the saved search. So this is when you, this is an op. I can show you a little more about it. So if we go, let's say I want to do frogs and this search is. Let's say I've gone through a lot of different limitations. Right now I've limited to South and Central. Mm-hmm. I can save this search, right? And I can go and name it. Saved in my account. If I go to my account now and I go to save search, frogs and toads is in there now. Yeah. And that's basically the function that how our new arrivals are being pulled in. Does that make sense?
So what you're seeing there is actually the tokens that go into that save search. So it only applies to save searches. So when she goes, it's just sort of saying, this is the limitations you put on this thing. It's still just a dialog box where she could type more in searching if she wanted to, but it really is only relevant to those things she saved for herself.
So for example, if you have a favorite author and you want to search for him or her regularly, but you don't ever want to see ebooks because you only read available books, you could do that search for that author and then limit it to books and then save that search. And then every few months, if you're interested in knowing whether or not that person's books have anything has changed, you could do that and not have to then redo the get rid of ebooks and get rid of books on CD search.
So it automatically comes in, 2 months later you go back to that list and it clicks on it and it adds anything new that is pertinent to that search.
Yes.
And anything within that criteria will be brought into that search.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for save search specifically.
Yeah.
Save the list as much is more you have to manually add or remove. So you can save to a list. I'm going to make that distinction. Saving to a list and saving a search are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, so that interesting script you're seeing here is just merely the computer path it took to make that search. And it's not, obviously it's not deeply useful to you or anything like that, but it only shows up in those safe searches.
It's not very useful, but also kind of baffling.
No, it's a little baffling, I agree, because it's kind of nerd speak. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there goes all the new nonfiction.
Which, incidentally, that's also, I don't know that that is necessary to the safe search, that that script reader, I'm not totally sure.
And you might be able to change that setting so it doesn't show up.
So it doesn't show up. That's exactly one of the things that we're meeting now. I mean, it's still going to be taking place behind the scenes, but...
I will say that our patrons do utilize lots of different searches that they're interested in seeing over and over again. So I think this is a feature that our patrons are going to be able to utilize as much as, say, to a list, which you might use for... book clubs or different groups, so you can email it out or you can add to it and leave things in place on hold and batch as well.
I think the question is just about that script though.
Yes.
That's all. That when you go to your safe search, you see that all there. It's not terribly useful. That. So we might be able to work with to make that not visible so it's not too confusing. The search itself will still exist.
Any questions? Any more questions about that particular? About easy login, let's go back over here. Alright, so we talked about list view, flow view, brand, we limited by branch and other limiters, by genre, jokes. And I wanted to show you that if you do have your mobile device, let's say you did not bring your library card and you were at the library and you'd like to check out your mobile, it is mobile responsive. So you will be able to have a digital library card. It knows when you're on your phone. And in fact, I was helping on the first floor, just kind of talking to people in the line, and sure enough, so a few people were like, oh, that would have been so helpful, except for I didn't, they didn't have their mobile device with them, because they had their children instead. But they were excited about that prospect of having their mobile device.
Kind of a large process, by the way. Our IT department had to make sure we had scanners that could read telephones. That's a very different thing than a normal scanner. And also, our previous system, one of its real faults was that it was not PCI compliant, which means the way things are encrypted when you take payments and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So now we're in a world where we can start to receive payments at the self-check systems. We haven't set that up yet because it's a rather big undertaking and we want to launch everything else first. But in our brave new future, we'll most likely have mag strips that will read a credit card, so if you want to pay your $4 or whatever it is. Of course, we don't charge fines anymore, as you all know, but there are those things that people have to pay for from time to time. So that the whole self-check thing is a lot more up to date with what's happening in the digital world now.
So all of our desks are outfitted with scanners that can use the phones. I know because they took my scanner and replaced it with one that cannot. All right, so we did talk a little bit about save to lists and save searches, and I think that if you want to see a little bit more about that, if we wanted to go ahead and limit a little more, let's say we just selected these two as the list that we're going to start. We're going to go ahead and click add to a list. This is something you have to be in list view. If you're in flow view, it doesn't work, so it. Everybody's account comes with a My List as a starter, which you can create new lists as you go. So there it shows up that the default is whatever your search terms were are going to show up as the proposed name. So we're just going to put bios.
So actually that's the solution to that issue right there that you mentioned. And I had previously just saved those with that default name. If she renames it, that crazy script will be gone. It's just going to say Shakespeare or whatever she puts.
I see. Okay.
So I'm going to go to my account. I'm going to go to let it think for a second. I'm going to go to my saved list. Here's my bio. Let's say we're all starting a book club and I want to email this list. I can go ahead and email it to all of you. That list of items that people are able to get to. this list of items, and you did talk a little bit about new arrivals, any other items that people are having trouble with. These are specific, and they were developed by some of our IT staff doing collaboration in your communication staff. Lots of different people have highlighted what's been helpful for patrons to get a whole, get information right away. And of course, they can contact us as well through this form. Sure.
How are staff adjusting to this new system?
Great.
I think they're pretty robust human beings that we work with.
I thought we have little red lights on our telephone that mean you've got a message, and I thought mine would be red constantly because I'm a big part of it with the circulation. And it's just not happening. Most of the issues that we encountered were what I would call basic migration issues that you would expect to be a little funky from the get-go. Most of the issues that were the log we fixed right away. And then we're discovering things slowly where people notice maybe something they don't have a permission they need. Things like that. Short of that, staff have really risen to the occasion. And I think are finding it intuitive. But it takes 2 hours. If you work on it for 2 hours, you know how to work it.
And people are asking good questions too. We're finding all kinds of the interest, but also the different ways that our system is flexible to meet the needs that we're finding. So I'm excited. We're doing a lot of good things.
And a lot of the feedback, it seems like folks are wanting additional training on the deeper topics, and that's why they're doing additional trainings, because our staff really want to do their job so very well, you know, and they want to make sure that if there's any frustrations, it's because they want to provide excellent service and play with everything and get in there and be smart. That's the kind of feedback that we've been getting.
I agree. And in fact, we have a list going right now of all the topics that are being recommended for the next trainings, those beyond pieces. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be showing some of the things that they requested and also asking like what formats do you want that training in. So again, like there's more to come. There's definitely more to come. We've only just started. And
our focus at the launch in our trainings, we're focused on what is going to be most seamless for patrons. So we really wanted to make sure that staff, on those first couple of weeks when somebody walked through the door, there wasn't going to be any sort of like, I don't really know how to update your address, you know, just real basic stuff. We had to make sure our fundamental core services were trained for. Mm-hmm. Then we have deeper things, as mentioned, so that you might want to create a list to collect data or something because of something you do in your job. And those things we'll have more focused trainings on.
And patients have also been attending the training sessions too. Each location has offered drop-in sessions, or you could even make an appointment.
That's right.
And have people work one-on-one with you, and it's up. We've been getting feedback, I know, from patrons being appreciative of that.
Absolutely. And you said you were on the line sort of talking with patrons and working with them. Is there somebody out there all the time sort of helping people through?
We had different people, especially the SLAs on that first floor. Mm-hmm. I think Jay's team has been extra helpful, and then I don't know a lot about what's going on, but I've heard that the branches have at least 2 branches in particular that they've had helping each other out. So I
would say, I would just say the whole of our staff. They're all there. And they all have a good fundamental understanding of the system now. Mm-hmm. So I think you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a sort of, like, gosh, I don't know how to do that either, ma'am. You know what I mean? And most of our staff know the fundamental stuff people want to know.
And I will say that staff are being proactive if there's stuff that we don't know. So we had a situation in one location where the person who was the trained trainer also had scheduled vacation 3 days after launch, so he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But what that branch did was they reached out to another location, and that other location sent their trainer over so that while their staff was still kind of getting their sea legs under them, they had that additional support. So it really is, you know, the city of Berkeley has a one city, one team ethos, and I think that this whole process has really helped the library. We are one team, and I think this is really evocative of that.
Great. Sophie?
Well, this is such a big deal. I mean, it's unbelievable to launch a major new system, let alone an external facing system, throughout an organization. And the presentation was wonderful. And I appreciate your reminding us that there was so much more to it. But I just want to acknowledge that it's very unusual to launch something this big. A core system, it's like the nervous system or the vascular system, like one of the core systems that runs through the entire organization, that touches almost everything, that's used internally, that has to be used by the public as well, has to meet all those criteria. And for this to be launched, I'm sure there were some unhappy people and some unhappy moments, but for this to essentially be launched without major glitches, without having to be shut down a week later because suddenly you figure out that there's some big hole or patch or whatever, this is amazing. It's not something, it requires so many different things to come together. Before the launch, and then the teamwork, and the training, and the deployment, and thinking of all these different angles, and the troubleshooting, and the amount of time it takes away from the regular work that I'm sure all of you have piling up on your desks. I just really want to acknowledge that this is huge. And it sounds to me like, on the spectrum of how these things go, a huge success. So I just want to compliment you on that. I'm sorry I wasn't there to see it. You guys should invite us to things more. We would love to come to things like this, and we promise we won't talk about business and break the Brown Act, but we are allowed to go and participate in things, and it's wonderful to hear about it this way. It would be great to actually sometimes be there in person. So not a criticism, but just the enthusiasm and the desire to have been there to experience some of it. But I'm sure it's ongoing, and I certainly would love to come in and have an introduction for myself, and maybe in pairs or something we can arrange to come in, because this is a watershed moment for the library. And I want to thank the, whatever your title is,
acting director,
for taking on such a big project and delivering it for the community and for the staff. So
I'm bringing back up, these are the people, these are the people that took huge leadership roles and a lot of time. I know I'm standing up here, but I am a very small sliver of a much larger team. And I think you'll even see, even just throughout this conversation, right? We are together. We have done this all together. So.
Well, good. What we would love to show you sometime is the folder in our desk that of all of the subfolders of all the work that they go into this. And it's free. If we printed it, it would be a phone book. That's how much work.
And I just want to say, and I want to remind you all, there's a lot more work to do. Sorry, I just had to do that. We are getting feedback. And, I think one of the most important elements of this is that this is something where all of our staff, including us, are getting feedback. Some of it very positive, some of it very critical. And our goal is to incorporate any of the criticism, any of the input that isn't working as people would like, so that we can perfect it. It's not perfect. It never will be perfect. It's one of our things. There are some big things that still need to get done. So some of the things have been pointed out by community members in ways that are not always, don't sound great. You don't feel good when you hear them. And there are actions that we can take despite that. And I know some of you have been great examples of leaders who've shown us that kind of response, and to take the important information and act upon it. So we are still doing that, and there's a lot of work to be done, so it's not done at all.
We're absolutely still taking feedback. We're taking your comments. We're taking them all seriously.
I only wanted to add that I'll go back in time a little bit, too, and just say I really want to kind of validate the RFP process we went through to get here. We chose the right company, and they have been great to work with and have really been an important part of us, to say the least. So just that's really where it started. And this staff obviously did so much work, but we're really enjoying working with this company. They've been right there for us. So.
Okay, thank you. Any last minute?
Well,
just two.
Yeah.
My last little comment that I wasn't quite finished, sorry. It's just to say that I think that we get very, you know, when we have things like furniture or a space or whatever, it's very tangible, and I feel like we kind of celebrate those things in a bigger way. But, I mean, this is the heart of a library. And this is a virtual capital improvement that is just huge. And I really think we ought to celebrate it the way we celebrate an opening, or because this is a project on that scale.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna.
Agenda building. The RFP, obviously. You want to keep giving us an online catalog update for the next couple of months?
Sure.
So we can talk about things that have actually gotten solved, like the magazines getting put in. I mean, I think it helps us when we hear criticism from the outside to say, oh yeah, we know that, that's coming, or it's not, and we can press in other areas as well. And you'll know by September if you're going to be ready with the bylaws report,
We're going to try to.
Okay.
I'm not going to give any dates.
Okay, we'll keep in touch with the bylaws team.
Yes.
Anything else that the board members at this time would like to put on the agenda? If not, please let either John or I know before September. Okay? You do not meet in August. Do not come here the first Wednesday in August. You will be by yourselves.
Check out the book.
We could all go out for a glass of wine. Meeting adjourned.